Hello, I'm Howard. Welcome to the 93-20 Review Podcast, the show that thinks Pep should go after United almost had a couple of chances at the weekend. We're looking back at what was a breeze through to the quarterfinals of the Champions League after a 3-1 win over Copenhagen. Standard stuff, standard score. To do so, I'm joined by two big hitters. We'll be looking at that and a lot more besides, because let's be honest, we won't be micro-analysing that second half. So it's a good morning to Ehsan and Stay. Good morning, Ehsan. How are you?
Morning, Howard. I'm really good. I've got construction work going on next door, so there's a lot of drilling and a lot of hammering, which could drive me crazy. But it just reminds me of the drilling and the hammering that we gave to the Rags last weekend, and you can't beat that.
Beautiful stuff, though.
No leaf blowers, though, so could be worse.
No leaf blowers yet. But the gardeners could turn up, and then there'll be leaf blowers as well. Then we'll have a symphony of domestic, they're not domestic appliances, they're industrial appliances, a symphony of industrial appliances.
Stay, how are you?
I'm okay.
Yeah? Been a bit under the weather.
Oh, mate, yeah, I feel a bit better today, but yeah, it's been, I was due one, to be honest, and took it like a man, by which I mean I just moaned about it constantly.
Just cried.
Yeah, had a little weep. I feel a bit better now, just very croaky, but I'm good to have it.
Yeah, well, good to have Sean Dyche on the review podcast. <I don't>
Oh, that has made me so self-conscious now.
Yeah, he'd just crack on.
Yeah, he would. Oh, God, yeah. He'd go for a marathon.
Before we talk about last night, just a quick note again on the derby, because why not? Ehsan, and Steve, you've not had a chance to talk about it, so great opportunity for you to do so. Ehsan, still feeling the glow of satisfaction after schooling United at the weekend?
I think with each day that's passed, I feel our performance is even, I feel as though I misjudged just how good it was and just how embarrassing it was for United. When I did the preview pod for the Copenhagen game with Jason, I kind of said in that I found United to be cowardly and pathetic in their performance. And subsequently, what I feel now is that our performance was just at a ridiculously high level. You can only beat the shit that's put in front of you, and they were absolutely atrocious. They got slapped. They got, they just got put in their place. I love it.
Yeah. Nice summary. Steve, what about you? How good was that performance? And do you ever get to take away anything about the rest of the season from a derby, or should you just enjoy the derby, especially when you win, especially when you outshoot the opponents nine times over?
Yeah, it's definitely the latter, I would say. There are certain derbies which have been illustrative of our season or where we are. I think this was more a reflection on where United are. Absolute dog shit. Cowardly, pathetic. They showed absolutely nothing. The game plan from the off was as we expected, which was a low block and look to hit us on the break. But they just didn't even bother with the second part. It was a comprehensive one-sided derby, which was just glorious to see. I loved it, I've got to say. It obviously, there was frustration and there was a bit of nerves until we scored, because at one point you think, well, it could be one of those days. That happens,
Yeah.
But then it just felt inevitable. It was just constant barrage of attacks. And they were clever and quick and incisive attacks as well. What I really loved as well was the variation of our play. We haven't seen that across this run that we're on in every game. It has to be said, there was a lot of variation to our play. So obviously the overloads out wide, taking shots from range. There's a lot of balls to feet into the box. I don't know if you noticed, there's far more than that than usual. United didn't know what was coming next. We were mixing it up so well. It was just a thoroughly enjoyable afternoon.
Yeah. Hey, Sad, just one thing I don't think actually mentioned in the review is just, there was that. Now, obviously, Diaz slip was actually the the Rashford header he got wrong when Walker was chasing. That was from a slip. It wasn't some brilliant transition move from United. It was a mistake, which, of course, we all know slips can be very costly in that precise part of the pitch in Premier League football. Thankfully, not on this occasion. So, and, of course, a couple of other chances. And, yeah, it could have been one of those days, perhaps, in the past when they just hit us on the break. But I think what we did mention was that stopped after 20 minutes because, yet again, this was a game where Pep probably tweaked something so tiny that you didn't see it that after the 23rd minute, they didn't have a shot on target. Or a shot, sorry, at all. Which shows, again, the genius of Pep in-game to change stuff and when he sees a problem to deal with it.
I mean, I don't know if it's that or if it's just the fact that in the heat of the moment, what United did in the opening 20 minutes in terms of what we view as like chances actually in the cold light of day were not really certainly in the sense that it wasn't something that United did that opened us up. As you say, they are slipped, right? You can't really legislate for that. The goal that they score, it's just a big hoof up the pitch. And it's a layoff. And you can maybe say, well, Diaz should head the ball rather than letting it drop. But I mean,
you know that. You learn that at school. Don't let a ball bounce. So.
Yeah, but you know, I feel as though within the wider context of the game, I keep coming back to this idea that they were thoroughly dominated. And any narrative that tries to spin the idea that they weren't weren't dominated and that City were not comfortable winners and that City didn't play incredibly well is really, it's either nitpicking or it's pretty disingenuous.
Anyway, just keep basking in it for the rest of the week. It was, 6-1 in total over the two derbies. Can't really complain with that, can you?
we like that score.
Yeah. Let's, anyway, something United wouldn't know about, Champions League knockout stages. Steve, were you totally relaxed going into this game? I have to say, I pretty was. I just, just quickly, a sentence or so, just to put the context of that, obviously City's record, which I'll come to later at home, but that late third goal in Copenhagen as well, obviously helped really settle the nerves big time. Though, of course, this was the team that had put United out, so no complacency.
Exactly that. I mean, that kind of leads to my point, which was this is a good team, Copenhagen, and it's 3-1, so of course we got a good advantage, and of course we're at home, and of course you would expect it to be straightforward. But it's a Champions League against a very good team, and it's just a two-goal deficit. And should they score early, you know, so I would have been incredibly surprised if it was anything other than Manchester City in a hat today. But still, I wasn't comfortable, I wouldn't say. I was far more comfortable going up against like the rags.
Really?
Oh, yeah. They are absolute dog shit. And just an additional point of that as well is they are petrified of us, United. Copenhagen are petrified of us. And that's a big psychological difference.
Hey, Sen, your thoughts? I think it's more the Champions League record as well. It's like, you could put a better side out and you'd be relaxed in a game like this. So, but you've just been pretty relaxed going into this as well.
Yeah, I think that the work we did in Copenhagen, and as you say, particularly the third goal, I think it changed the complexion of the tie last night. And I think that's kind of reflected in the team selection that Guardiola ends up picking. But as we work through the game, I think we did actually also see why Copenhagen performed so well in the group stage. They're not a terrible team. They've got a system. They're well organized. They work hard. They've got some technically good players. They've got some skillful players. I don't think you get that far in the Champions League without having something about you as a team. Yeah. And I think that's also reflected in all the teams who aren't at this stage of the Champions League, which kind of tells its own story. So I was comfortable in the idea that, okay, a 3-1 lead at home, I back us to score a goal. And I don't think that if we score a goal, they'll be able to get back into it after that.
Yeah. And what I didn't know going into the game was they had three or four big injuries, and that they lost the weekend. I didn't even know that. So, and by losing the weekend, they've pretty much given up any hope of winning their title. So that would have had a big psychological impact on them. So I didn't know that going into the game, and I wish I had.
Lost to another team that have beaten United Midland.
Yes. Yeah.
I just remembered a Facebook memory of after Midgetland beat, I'm saying it wrong, obviously, aren't I, for comic effect.
Yeah.
After they beat United, I put on Facebook, they'll be dancing in the streets of Lilliput tonight, and lots of United fans just replied. It's like, yeah, so I'm not even having a go at United with that. It's just wordplay. But anyway,
yeah.
Made me chuckle doing that Facebook. So to the side, Steve. Obviously, there'll be a lot of interest in how strong Pep was going to go. And I hate the word complacency, it's absolute nonsense. But as fans, we're going to relax. We know Pep's taking it super seriously, but we also know he probably will make a couple of changes. So when you saw the side, what did you think? Was it about right, strength-wise? Were the right players rested for you?
That's a key point, Howard. I was absolutely delighted to see Kev rested, and I was absolutely delighted to see Phil rested. I wasn't expecting Rodri to be rested under any circumstances. because, you know, it's the last 16 of a Champions League, and it's against a decent side. So, again, go back to my previous point of we needed to kill this game off. So he was always going to start with Rodri. He was always going to play Haaland. Those two were not surprises at all for me. So it was all about Kev, really. And Ake as well, I have to say, as well. He was due a rest. So it was good to see Cavardiol come in. So I was delighted to see the lineup. I have to say. It was just the right balance of strength there. And a bit of curiosity as well in seeing kind of, you know, Nunes, Bob and Alvarez around Haaland, see how they all kind of mixed together. So, yeah, I was very pleased with the lineup, I have to say.
And happy to see John Stones rested as well.
I know I'm going miles forward here, but were you surprised to see him come on?
Big time, yeah.
Yeah.
I assume Diaz was just a bit tired, so he wanted to make a change. But I assume it wasn't some planned thing. I don't know, but obviously, yeah.
Well, Howard, you said something in a previous pod which has completely changed my thinking, which about Stones, where, you know, you just said, we just think of him like he's made of glass, but he's not. If he's injured, he's injured. If he's fit, he's as fit as any player out there. And it's like such a simple point, but it's such a good point. So when he came on, I was like, I was thinking to myself, why am I feeling a bit trepidatious here? He's fit. Don't worry about it. So yeah, you've really changed my thinking in that regard.
Oh, it could happen in training, you know.
Yeah.
He's got to train all week, so you can't, you know, you get injured then. Obviously, I'm not a sports science expert, to put it mildly, and we don't know behind the scenes. I think with players like that, it's when they hit that orange zone and obviously the red zone, especially the fatigue, that they're more likely to pick up an injury. But if Stones has been fit for 2 months, then he should be treated like any other player. I think he could, in theory, have 3 games a week in him. He's not, you know, he's not going to get more fatigued quicker. He's fit. It's just he's injury prone. And I'm not sure, just obviously, if you just play it once a week, then he's less likely to get injured for that specific reason. But it doesn't mean he's not capable of playing 3 games a week like everyone else. So, yeah. And obviously, if he's on the pitch, then those behind the scenes know what they're doing most 99% of the time. So we shouldn't be worried if Pep trusts him to go on the pitch, or anyone else for that matter, then we should too as well. Asan, for you, was it about the right level, right strength? And yeah, Bob in, Rico Lewis in. Lesser spotted Rico Lewis.
I was really surprised by the team, if I'm honest with you. I didn't think that he would rotate quite that much. But at the same time, I was delighted to see the lads who were on the bench. I kind of wish that Rodri had been allowed to join them, but he got to put his feet up in the second half, so that was something.
And Gvardiol, just good to know that he is fit and available for selection.
Yeah,
he needs to stop misplacing passes. I love him, but it's the 5 to 10 yard passes sometimes that are just a yard off one way or the other. But no, he's coming back from an injury, so I shouldn't be so arsed. But yeah, no, it was good to see him back. And you know, look, I think to get to this point of the season and to be almost entirely injury free is just really a blessing.
Thanks for listening to the first 15 minutes of the show. To listen to the full podcast and all our content, including reviews, previews, analysis, quizzes, and much more, go to 9320.com to sign up now, or simply click the link in the description. So what are you waiting for? Go to 9320.com now for the best, most passionate, impartial coverage of Manchester City and beyond.